Sally?
Yes, Ashley?
Can we talk about what your receipt from the taco place says?
Yeah, so I went to Rusty Taco.
Yeah.
Should I say which location?
Nah.
Okay. Well, it's
a great name, though. Rusty Taco.
Rusty Taco. It's a little chain of taco places, and it's one of the locations in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex.
That's a wide area, so.
Yeah. And so I stopped there after work because I didn't have lunch, and I really wanted something to eat. And
you really wanted tacos.
I really wanted tacos.
Yeah.
Specifically Rusty Taco. I don't know why, because it's not like Taqueria Tacos, which is like usually my jam. Actually, you're about to sneeze. Or you're in prayer.
It could be either at this point.
Praying you don't sneeze.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Anyways. So that's Rusty Taco.
Yeah.
And I made my order and I got my receipt. And you know, it's not like when they ask for your name, it'll have your name on the top. And mine said, Sally, that girl.
Sally, that girl?
Sally, that girl. And I don't know if it was like, Sally, that girl, or like, Sally, oh, that girl. But I don't go there all the time. Like, I might have been there 3 times.
My theory is she made quite an impression.
No, because yeah. I'm usually just like, yeah, I want this one and that one, and some chips and guacamole, and Topo Chico. I'm not, you know.
You're not you when you go there?
I'm a very muted version of me, because if I'm with people I don't know, I become like a mushroom.
You know, that's fair, because when you first started working with me, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, she's very nice. She's very sweet. She's awfully quiet. Little did I know.
And then y'all started talking about theater, and I was like, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we're talking about, and then someone said true crime, and I was like, ooh. And then we went to the movies and saw Get Out, and that's when the forest fire started.
The friendship blossomed.
Yeah.
I'm just looking lovingly over the mic at you.
Yeah.
I wish there was more like romantic lighting, like candles, but like not close to my hair to light it on fire. But also fire.
Are we talking about fire? Can we talk about fire?
I mean, we're not talking about fire, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Should I introduce us?
Yeah.
Hi, welcome.
Hold on, hold on. I owe the audience an apology first.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Yes, she does. Sally.
Because of the burp into the microphone.
Step up to the mic and apologize to our listening audience, who this week got added was Glasgow, somewhere in Austria, a couple places in Canada. I just want you to know, like, an international audience potentially heard you belch into the... You belch.
I burp.
I beg to differ.
I didn't know what was going to happen.
Come closer to the mic, sweetie.
I'm afraid I'm going to burp again.
Okay, well, please don't.
Okay.
You...
That was at least turned away from the mic.
Fun fact, I can burp on cue.
That does not surprise me. So can my brother.
And I'm a great actor.
That's true. You are.
Mm-hmm.
Please apologize.
Internet community, podcast audience, new listeners that are
very confused.
And listeners that have listened to last week's episode that are appalled.
Scandalized
because of my performance.
They had to hear that in their ear holes.
I heard it from my ear holes, and you know what I did? I laughed.
You know what?
Anyways,
I did?
Ashley,
I gagged.
Ashley, you're interrupting my formal apology.
Okay.
I have to start over again.
Okay.
To our audience and listeners.
Starting from the beginning? Okay.
Anyway, I humbly apologize from the bottom of my heart for, what's the formal word for burping?
I don't know.
Anyways,
She just did it
again. But it was very quiet.
It was a little sneaky one.
Yeah. She didn't open her mouth at all.
See, here's the problem with this, Sally. Sometimes I think you lack the ability to sound sincere. Because when you're apologizing, it doesn't come off great when you're laughing.
I'm sorry. Like, I feel like I constantly laugh, uh-huh. but then it's just interrupted by talking.
I hear you. Okay, yes. Well.
Some people laugh.
Anyways, I'm very sorry if that offended anyone or if they're just appalled by my presence. I apologize in advance if this is your first episode.
What an episode to start with.
I'm just gonna shut up. I'm gonna quit. I feel like I'm just digging a deeper hole.
All right. Well, Sally is really sorry, everyone.
I really am. I'm sorry. Some of y'all might have found it funny like I did, but some of y'all probably threw up a little bit.
Me.
And I apologize to Ashley's ear holes for having to edit all of that.
I appreciate you. And I forgive you, Sally. Please don't burp into the microphone again.
I can't guarantee anything, but I will try my hardest.
That's all I ask. Okay. Anyway, welcome to Legendary Lasses. I'm Ashley.
I'm KB.
And I'm gassy person, Sally.
I was really hoping you were going to say, I'm sorry, Sally.
I'm sorry, Sally.
But gassy Sally works gassy too, I guess. Gassy Sally. Well, I don't know what we're talking about today.
I don't know either.
I do.
Okay.
Somebody's got to know, right?
Well, hopefully. None of us.
Well, so today, it's a really interesting topic. Just to start out, we're all kind of from this Dallas-Fort Worth area. And for anyone who's been kind of, I guess, watching the news, knows what's been going on this week. We had a tornado that came through Dallas.
I actually saw today it was Sunday. 9 confirmed tornadoes.
Oh,
yeah. It was a lot. I think I saw there were like 3 in Dallas or something. Mm-hmm. But there was kind of one, I guess, main one that came right up through the middle of everything.
Yeah.
So like the place where I work, it tore off part of the roof and, you know, it's a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. But we're all okay, and last I read, there were no deaths.
There's no deaths, no injuries. Yeah. Like, it's an incredible thing.
Yeah.
Can I just say, though, I was on Twitter mm-hmm. after the tornado passed my area in Garland, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and these people on Twitter using the hashtag Garland, they were like, they had no fear of death. First of all, there's about 9 videos of people watching the tornado from their yard.
Oh my gosh.
When it's like feet away.
My dad does that. I don't like it.
There's
at my parents' house, the sirens were going off. And so our reaction was to go outside and look around to see what's going on.
That's literally mm-hmm. every Texan's yeah. like natural instinct yeah. because usually the alarms go off and nothing happens.
That's what happened at our house. Like, it was just there was thunder mm-hmm. lightning, and then it was windy just a little bit.
Yeah.
But then we just went back in, and my mom was like sitting on the porch just like reading a book. And then we were like, as the signs were going off, we're watching the Cowboys game.
Yeah. Well, like south of Dallas, because I was down there, like nothing was really happening. Mm-hmm. There was like cloud to cloud lightning, and they didn't even get rain down there until 2 or 3 in the morning. So, like, down there it was fine, but, like, in Dallas it was...
Yeah. Well, like, Dallas, Richardson, Garland, kind mm-hmm. of up by the George Bush Turnpike area. Mm-hmm. But anyway, these people on Twitter, they were like, man, God's really trying to wipe Garland off the face of the map. And then someone else was like, the total estimated damage in Garland is $3.
I'm sorry, Garland, but...
And they were... and then this other person got on and was like, y'all in Garland are fucking wild.
I feel like Garland is the black sheep of this area. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What's
like,
the thing in Zombieland with the guy?
Yeah. So he's at a gas station in Garland and he says something like, it looks like this post-apocalyptic wasteland. And he's like, but that's just Garland.
The roads will
that. Oh, yeah, man.
But I will say, at least Garland has the lines on the road fine.
Yes, Richardson does not.
Yeah,
but their road quality is great. Better,
yes.
So beautiful.
But the lines, it's kind of like...
Am I in a lane?
Don't hit somebody and pray. Like, that's Richardson.
Holding on by hope and a dream.
Yeah. Just, oh, man.
Anyway.
We've got a little off track. But
sorry,
but
yeah, I just had to share those Garland tweets.
Yeah. So we have the tornado. And I just thought it was incredible that no one was really critically injured. Yeah. No one died. And I think a lot of that has to do with our ability to predict storms and warn people. So this week I thought I would talk about women of meteorology.
Oh. Whoa.
To go with our event. Yeah.
So cool.
So
we're like on topic.
Yeah.
We're on like.
Yeah. Current events, guys.
Like I have to make this Fleetwood Mac reference. Okay. Thunder only happens when it's raining.
There you go.
Yep.
Well done.
I love that song.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So we're going to talk about that, and I want to kind of have a focus on what we do to keep people safe during natural disasters. A lot of that is going to have to do with forecasting, but I also talk about one person who is more the communication side of it and keeping people informed.
Great.
So yeah, that's kind of what we're going to do this
episode. I'm excited.
Yeah.
This is super cool.
Yeah. So just to start out, we're going to go with our sort of forecasting category, which has a lot involved with it. Let's start out with Catherine Sullivan.
There's lots of Catherines when you do it.
Well, okay. I'm not at all biased being a Catherine myself. Maybe I am a little.
Is it Catherine with a C?
No, it's K-A-T-H-R-Y-N.
Oh, she's a special Catherine. Okay.
So Catherine Sullivan... she's kind of more fairly recent. She was born in 1951.
Oh, that's really recent.
So yeah, she's still kind of working, and I don't
that's
think
awesome.
Yeah, I think she's still living currently. Yeah, so she actually is not a meteorologist by like degree, like some of the other people we're going to talk about, but she worked with kind of NASA and by extension NOAA. So, like...
What is NOAA?
It's the... Oh, let's see if I can remember it. National Oceanography, Oceanographic, and Atmospheric Association? It's another A.
Sure.
Administration Association, something like that.
Question. Can
she
I
is still alive.
Can I join NASA just to have the picture in the spacesuit?
I wish. I think you can go to the Space Center in Houston. Is it in Houston?
Yeah, it's just
Kennedy Space Center.
No, that's the one, I think
that's the one in
that's
Florida.
That's the one in Florida,
but there is
one in South of Houston. I have family that lives around there.
Yeah, but you know the one I'm talking about.
Yes, yes.
I think you can go there, and they do have like a setup thing. But
I want to actually wear a spacesuit.
I mean, me too, but. I'm also not smart enough to be an astronaut.
Listen, have you watched,
Here's what we can do. Ready? We make a movie where we're both astronauts and we get to wear astronaut suits. I will cry of happiness.
What is there?
I got goosebumps right now.
I'm gonna look up. There's this movie. Have y'all seen Rocket Man?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's about this guy played by Harlan Williams, and he's a ding dong, and he somehow gets on a spaceship, and because he's I don't know, but he goes to Mars, and he's just a ding dong.
Isn't that also the name of that Elton John movie?
Rocket
Man?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought like, we were talking about, and
no,
I was like, how
it's
does
not
this
that.
Relate?
No, it was like made in the 90s, but I remember watching that when I was a kid.
That explains a lot. I love you, Sally.
No, you don't.
Sally!
You just call me a ding-dong.
It's better than calls.
I'm just a ding-dong.
The look on your face just now kind of reminded me of like in the Goonies when
I'm just going
caught by the, is it the Fratellis? And they're like, tell us everything.
And he's just like, okay.
Yeah. That's what your face just now reminded me of.
What the fuck was
that? What a witch laugh.
Appropriate time for Halloween.
Yeah.
I was also watching Sally's after I said that makes sense. Uh-huh. Watching her process and her face just dropped.
Yeah.
I just laughed so hard I might throw up.
Oh dear.
I feel nauseous.
Just like South Park projectile vomiting goes.
Ouchie.
Okay.
Sorry.
So Catherine Sullivan.
I can't
right?
get us back to the story.
That's okay.
Catherine Sullivan.
Yeah, Catherine Sullivan. So she's an astronaut. She was the first American female to walk in space.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Walking in space.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Thank
so, you. But she also does this work with NOAA doing more atmospheric type stuff. Mm-hmm. And she really contributed to us being a weather-ready nation, and that involved new advancements like satellites, new modeling capabilities as far as modeling different storm systems and things like that, radar systems, just a lot of technological advancements sort of came up during her time at NOAA. So she contributed in that way. So even though she's not a meteorologist by like, she went and got a degree in meteorology, she contributed definitely. And there's a lot of people that are like that who aren't just straight up meteorologists, but they contribute in different ways too. So I wanted to talk about her. And also we have Dr. Joanne Simpson. So she was born in 1923 and she died in 2010. So it's
Whoa.
Not been too long ago.
Wow.
But that's a pretty good long life. She would have been 87.
Uh-huh.
Am I doing that math right?
Something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about science.
So
you sounded like little Edie.
I'm trying to sound like Bjork, like just like an Icelandic toddler on acid.
Oh dear.
I don't I was know saying... anything about science.
So we're talking about Dr. Joanne Simpson. So again, she was born in 1923, died in 2010. So it's only been kind of fairly recent, you know, within the last 10 years that she's died. So her field was more tropical meteorology.
Oh, wow.
So, and she has kind of this heavy science background and did a lot of research and things like that. So she's more sort of straight up academic meteorologist.
It was a lot more tropical stuff. Did she like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain?
I mean, I feel like you gotta. If you're a tropical meteorologist, yes.
Come on, Ashley. You know it was funny. You feel like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain.
I'm in hell. You singing it doesn't make it better.
I think it makes
it
so much
better. It was still a bad
better.
Joke. I'm a bad joke?
Yeah, you're
I know.
A bad joke.
Oh, dear.
Sally just flipped me off.
Good.
Well,
let
okay,
them know.
But that's been a thing
no,
you've been
no,
doing lately.
No, she just flipped me off. That was very rude.
That's been your
no, it's not.
It's been
don't
your
play
bit
the
for
though.
The past little bit.
Don't
she
play the
flipped me off.
Don't play the victim, Ashley Marie, because you've been flipping me off since you walked in the door.
That's not true.
Yeah.
No.
It took me like 5 minutes.
Oh dear.
Oh yeah, 5 minutes.
I had to set up our recording stuff.
Ashley, shut your mouth. You will lie, you never lied so damn much.
It did take me like 5 minutes.
You still flip me off a lot.
You flipped me off way more than I did.
Listen, oh. I don't even know if we can trace back who did this first.
You!
So,
you did!
I did today.
No.
Yesterday, I don't know.
We didn't even know. We didn't even
I mean guess. Sunday.
Yeah, huh? You flipped me off the first.
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
But y'all were doing
because it. Because I was really, I was making lots of bad puns in the mall.
Yeah, that's true. She was.
I think I made a lot of great puns.
I almost hit Sally square in the jaw.
I also said she had small hands.
That's what started this. That's what started it. She said I had little baby hands. I said stop talking about my baby hands.
I just said you have little hands.
No, you said baby hands. I remember.
Oh dear. Now Sally's witch laughing.
This is going way off topic, but that day I was
this guy was messaging
me on one of the dating apps, and he was like, we were talking about like, oh, what are you doing today? He's like, oh, I'm just doing chores. I gotta feed my mini horse. He gets sassy when I don't feed him on time. And I just went, that's the best sentence I've heard in a long time.
Does he really have a mini
horse?
He has
a mini horse. And I think
why are we here right now?
In his home? Or like running around the yard?
Yeah, running around the yard. He has a little awning.
What?
When it rains, sometimes he doesn't go under the awning. He just stands in the middle. He's like...
Me.
And I was like... So I think I found my husband.
This mini horse?
I need to make that next week so I can meet this mini horse.
Has he sent you a picture of this mini horse?
We're still on this.
Listen, get the proof of the mini horse before we go out there.
I need to ask Sally a question.
Okay.
I need you to not listen.
Do you want me to plug my ears?
Plug your ears.
Okay.
Can we steal the mini horse?
No, we can't!
Why? Why?
Because it's his!
You keep asking me if we could steal all these dogs. We can't steal a fucking mini horse?
No.
We can name him Sebastian. Can we please?
No. That's not nice.
It's not nice when you want to steal all the dogs. Why can't we steal one mini horse?
Because he's got a good...
Plug your ears.
Listen.
No. Plug your ears, ma'am.
Beans were spilled, and you want to know why? Because I couldn't hear you, but I could 100% hear everything Sally said.
That's because I kept whispering, but she doesn't know how to do that.
And then when you both got loud, you were like, why can't we steal a mini horse?
We can't steal him because he's got a good dad. I try to steal all the dogs from all the boneheads.
Listen. We don't even get to the point of finding out if they're a bonehead before you ask me, we're stealing a dog, right? I always say,
yes. You know they look like boneheads because they have a picture of A, fishing, B, with a gun, or C, both.
I mean, you are correct, but not every person that had a dog that I showed you had those pictures. And you would always ask, are we going to see that dog? And I would always say, yes, of course we are.
What's dog is different.
She just doesn't want me to have a mini horse.
Because you already have too many horses.
I don't have any horses.
Rosie's a little mini horse.
She's a small bear cub.
Really,
yeah.
Ashley?
Yeah.
All right, really? She tackled me and licked my face off.
Small bear cub. Horses can't do that.
Yeah, they can. You're stupid.
You're stupid. Come on.
I can't believe she will ever steal a mini horse. I thought of all people, she would be on board. And you know what? She isn't. You know what I am? Disappointed.
I'm disappointed.
I'm not even sad or angry. I'm disappointed in her.
I love how you're talking to me like I'm not even here.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to fart.
I even made our adult supervision plug their ears. We could have planned this whole thing. You know what? You're not invited to my cult anymore.
I'll start my own cult. It'll be a better cult with mini horses.
We'll attack your cult.
Wait,
you're gonna have mini horses?
No.
That's just the biggest fuck you. I'm so mad right now. She's flipping me off again.
Ashley, even the twin I absorbed in the room is flipping you off.
Wait, is that for real?
No.
Oh, I was like, what? Okay. I don't know how to get this back, so... Tropical meteorology.
Tropical meteorology.
Yeah, it's tropical.
Like
I'm gonna slap her.
Listen, I'm just saying, if I were a college recruiter recruiting for a tropical meteorology department, 100%, that would be on my brochures and stuff.
And then you'd be in the quad just singing the Having That Song on karaoke on loop.
Yeah,
I'm not talking.
And then also
to you right
Dreams
now.
by Fleetwood Mac, just because it's a good song.
That's a fair point.
All weather related songs.
Yeah,
that's a lot. You gotta talk about the rains down in Africa.
That's my favorite. Yeah. That's my jam, you guys. I love that song.
That song makes me dance. Mm-hmm.
Y'all are so white.
I don't know what it is. And I like all versions of that song. I mean, maybe not all versions. I probably haven't heard all the versions.
We
but
should
like,
make a version of it.
There's, we definitely should not.
There's the there's the Toto one, you know.
We should do it and just like sing it really badly. Never mind.
Oh dear. Well, Sally's quiet, so that means she's plotting.
Do you know what she wants to?
What?
Plot to steal a mini horse of me.
Because he's got a good dad.
I could be a great
mother.
We
can't rehash the same argument right now.
If you can find an apartment that will accept two dogs, one is the size of a baby hippo.
How dare you?
No, I'm just, oh yeah, I got her confused with my parents' dog. She is the size of a baby hippo. But still, one of your dogs is big. I'm sorry, Rosie is like very long and kind of tall.
Yeah, she is.
She's a big doggo. Mm-hmm. And a mini horse. Mm-hmm. I will consider stealing a mini horse. Don't you dare, Ashley.
The tactics in this room.
Don't even. Shut up. Ashley's giving us puppy dog eyes, and she's looking... Oh, shut up. Shut up, Ashley.
I just want a mini horse named Sebastian.
Well, go get a mini horse named Sebastian.
Yeah.
I wanted to and I won't let
me. I didn't say you can't.
Go and get your own. Don't steal someone else's.
How else do you get a mini horse?
You buy one. Yeah, or you adopt one.
Yeah.
Adopt, don't shop. Mm-hmm. Don't you dare look at me like that, Ashley.
Tropical meteorology.
Yeah. Y'all can have this argument on the break.
Okay.
So, we're talking about Dr. Joanne Simpson. Just to recap, since it's been a little bit since we've been here.
I've said it three times.
I'm sorry. I went off on a tangent, and then I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Listen, I like our little jaunts into the weird.
Unknown.
Yeah. But she was focused kind of on tropical meteorology and had this heavy science background doing research. Uh-huh. So she's the first woman in the U.S. to get a PhD in meteorology. That's kind of tagline, claim to fame. There is a story out there about her where I think it was her and maybe two other people had started in this PhD program, and they had an advisor who basically told them, like, no woman's ever gotten a PhD in meteorology. No woman ever will. And even if you do, no one will hire you.
Ooh, I'm going to hit that person. They're probably dead now, but I'm going to unbury them, and I'm going to just open their casket. I'm going to punch them right in the skeleton.
What if we summon their ghost and you punch the ghost?
Mm. You can't punch a ghost.
Not with that attitude.
Your hand just goes right through it.
You could energy punch a ghost, I guess. But...
Yeah.
No, I'm going to dig them up and punch their skeleton jaw. Take it right off of the hook.
And then right take any jewelry.
Obviously. Not stupid.
See if there's any loose change in there.
In their pockets?
In their pockets.
I think we're talking about disrespecting the dead.
I mean, yeah.
But still, what a misogynist. Pig.
Yeah, well, and I'm guessing this was probably around the 40s.
That would make sense.
So, not the greatest time for women in science.
Stupid asshole.
You know, we even have problems today as far as women in science getting respect.
No,
but
you're a lovable asshole.
But I'm still stupid.
Only sometimes.
But yeah, so, and she started kind of doing this work for NASA-related projects. She was working on something called the Tropical Rainfall Measurement Mission. And that sort of helped to lay the foundation for NASA's current rainfall satellite program. Mm. So they keep track of all that stuff. And that's part of what they used as a part of that. So, and also, as far as forecasting, of course, we have like the satellite part of it that she helped with, but also her work influenced how we understand hurricanes now. And so they're still using her research even from back then because she was talking about, I won't get like too deep into the science of it because I feel like I'm we not wouldn't qualified.
Understand it.
Yeah, I feel like, well, fine. And I feel like I'm not qualified, but basically she was studying something, I think it's called hot towers, but basically it's like pockets of hot air. That can influence the weather and things like that and currents and all that. But her work on that, these hot towers, we're starting to think now that hurricanes, if you see the presence of these hot towers, because a lot of, you know, the strength of a hurricane depends on it staying warm.
Right.
And so they're thinking that the presence of these can sort of determine whether or not it's going to intensify. And so that can sort of help predict, you know, how strong it's going to be when it makes landfall and things like that. So I wanted to mention that too.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she's more on the science and research side of things. So that's Dr. Joanne Simpson. And I also wanted to talk about a meteorologist named Anna Mani. So she is from India. She was born in 1918 and she lived until 2001. So also really long life.
Jeez.
She was a physicist and a meteorologist. And like I said, she's from India. And I was kind of reading about like her family life. She had more of an upper class family. And, you know, when she was born until she was about 30, they're under British rule still.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting, you know, time to grow up in. And so what she really did is help make India self-reliant in measuring weather. And she also helped to lay the groundwork for solar and wind power.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of what she did. She transitioned to more solar, wind power, things like that.
She's
but I,
so cool.
Yeah. But
not the other two ladies weren't.
Yeah.
But wow.
Yeah. So I really wanted to talk about the part where, you know, she's helping them with measuring the weather because that's, you know, important to what we're talking about.
What? Little baby hair.
I got my hair cut.
Yeah.
And she's twirling it. It looked like a little baby braid.
Yeah.
It's just a little
twisted. So, of course, I wanted to, you know, give us kind of a date to work from so we understand what's going on around the time that she's doing these things. So Indian independence comes in 1947.
Wow.
So, you
know. That's a lot later than I thought it was.
Yeah. After, you know, World War II and all that, a couple of years after that. So in 1945... she goes to England to study the atmosphere and meteorological instrumentation because she had finished a degree in India and then they were giving scholarships to go abroad and study different subjects. And so, yeah, so she was interested in that. And so she went to England for 3 years to do that. And she actually came back to India in 1948. So right after Indian independence, she comes back to India. And she works for the Indian meteorological department. And her big thing was accuracy. So she's very, very interested in being accurate with their measurements. And one of the things that she's known for saying is that wrong measurements are worse than no measurements at all. So
that's fair enough.
Yeah. So that's the thing that she was constantly having them check against more, you know, international measurements, making sure that the meteorological department in India is doing accurate work, giving good measurements and good recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what she's doing for sort of the first part of her career. In the 1960s, she gets more interested in ozone monitoring and that sort of thing. And that's, I think, when she sort of transitions to more of that work with solar and wind power.
Sure.
But definitely especially for the first part of her career, it's all about, you know, instrumentation, measurement, things like that that help us get more accurate forecasts.
That's really cool.
So yeah, so I wanted to highlight these people in forecasting. Also with her, I do have a book recommendation.
Ooh.
Yeah, thought I would bring one.
Yeah.
So it's called Anna's Extraordinary Experiments with Weather. So this is a children's book. It was kind of, I wanted to have this do something a little bit lighter maybe, you know, not based on, you know, interviews with her and things about her life. Not super scholarly, but something just nice to read.
You know, I feel like children's books, especially more contemporarily,
mm-hmm.
are like so good about talking about women in science.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, it's incredible to me. Like, I didn't have these when I was growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's incredible to me.
Well, I think it's partly sort of, I don't know, maybe related to that women can get in easier on emerging things. And so, like, I know it's not a one-to-one comparison, but because it's children's books and it's, you know, it's easier, I think, to teach kids about women in science and get that part of the conversation with them early on.
Yeah.
Rather than making it part of the consciousness for people who are already older and, you know, that kind of stuff.
Women can't do science.
Oh, gosh. Yes, they can. Yeah.
Mm.
So women can do science, for anyone out there listening. Absolutely. So that's my book recommendation. It's written by Nandita. Let me try her last name.
Here we go. can I try it?
Yeah, you can.
I want to try it.
Okay, Ashley's going to try it.
Her name. Oh, dear.
Ashley might try it.
Her name is Nandita Jahara. Her name is Nandita Jayaraj.
I was going to go with Jayaraj. Yeah.
Jayaraj.
I think that's her name. I'm so sorry for mispronouncing, if you're listening.
I tried!
By chance. Yeah. And then the illustrator, I always like to mention the illustrator because I don't think they get enough credit.
Art!
Yeah.
Yes!
Her name is Priya Kurian. So she
nice.
The, yeah. So that's my book recommendation. It's about Anna Mani, and I think it focuses around her 8th birthday, which I think is the birthday when, because she was in this upper class family, so the sons were being prepared for, you gotta have a great career, you're gonna be an influential
sure.
man.
Oh.
But the women were being prepared, or the girls, they're girls at this point, later women, but they're being prepared for, you know, marriage.
Right.
And you know.
You have to learn how to keep the house.
So it was customary.
Gotta learn how to cook for your husband.
Well, and also, like, there's a lot that goes with being an aristocratic wife, I feel like.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
true.
So all of that. But
in the household.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was customary, it said from what I was reading, for her family to give diamond earrings. But instead she was like, I want the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's why it focuses on kind of her 8th birthday and then what she...
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that's my book recommendation. I think this is a good place for a little break. And we'll come back and talk about a couple of other people for our second half of the episode.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we eating on the break?
We should.
I had a bunch of tacos and
You're
chips
good,
and guac, but I'm good. I'll stick around for the conversation.
Yeah. I'm glad because that's the second half of our episode.
Enjoy your ad.
Yeah.
I remember watching it and I came downstairs and y'all were on the patio and I walked in and I was like, I just saw the Mr. Rogers.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And I was just like crying and I was like, I just saw it. And I'm crying.
Well, welcome back from the
You're
break.
You're recording and I talked about him. Whatever.
That was cute. I wanted to get it on recording.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm not a belching monster all the time.
Not all the time. I didn't say you were.
I don't know.
I love you.
I love you too, Ashley. We're still not going to steal a mini horse.
I'm not.
She won't let me have fun. Well,
Ashley, we planned an art heist a couple of days ago.
That's true. Can we plan a mini horse heist?
Yes, but not to the guy I'm talking to.
You should. Okay, you should heist a mini horse and then outfit
it. It's our getaway driver.
Well, no, you outfit it with like little pack mule bags or whatever, and you just put stuff.
No, we're gonna dress him like Clint Eastwood.
Obviously.
Oh dear.
You feel lucky punk.
You sound just like him.
That was the horse impersonating him.
Or you.
But I had to do it in a tiny voice because it's a mini horse.
Or we can, or it'll be like Mr. Ed, and we'll teach him to just go Wilbur.
Oh dear.
That is way too old of a reference for me to make.
That was way too old of a reference for me to laugh at. Anyway.
Oh goodness. Okay, so we're back to talking about ladies of meteorology. So, and I did want to, because I didn't say it at the beginning, but I think we have kind of this notion of, like, the weather girl, you know,
yeah.
That which is not, please don't call them weather girls anymore.
It's like weather
people.
And then I I also think of like, the reporter voice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you see the storm system to the left.
Yeah. Well, so we think of, like, the weather girl on TV or whatever.
They're weather people. The weather people.
So, but we have that kind of notion about them.
To be fair, we also do call them the weatherman.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is true.
So, like, could we call them the weather ladies?
I mean, I feel like I would be more okay with weather ladies than, like, the weather girl, you know?
The weather ladies.
Yeah. But we have kind of that notion of, like, they're just on TV and they don't really know the science or whatever.
But they're meteorologists.
I was told to say these words, to read the words here on the prompter.
But it's like they're actually
scientists.
Scientists, meteorologists who've gone to school for this. They know what's going on. Yeah. Like, you know. So we're going
to. I knew a girl who wanted to go to meteorology school.
That's really cool.
That's what she called it. Yeah. Meteorology school.
Mm-hmm.
She sounds like a weather girl.
But it's kind of, when I say meteorology, it kind of sounds like I'm saying archaeology.
I always trip over meteorological because I think about it too much.
Yeah.
And then I get all the L's.
Too many letters.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce all them letters.
But if I don't think about it, then usually I'm okay. Yeah. But if I think too much about it, I will 100% just. So we're going to continue with our last person that I picked who has to do with forecasting.
Uh-huh.
So this is Clara von Neumann.
Ooh.
And she was born in 1911 in Budapest.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
Hungary keeps popping up on our radar.
It does. Like. Yeah.
That's strange.
I'm really interested in Hungary.
I'm also Hungary.
Clara von Neumann,
and it's Neumann. So, of course, she was born before, kind of just before the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's living in Budapest. And again, I think her family was a little bit better off, you know, kind of off.
Her birthday was just a couple months ago.
Oh.
August 18th.
Happy belated birthday, Clara.
Don von Neumann.
Yeah. Really, when it gets interesting, I guess, is because she's, you know, a little bit older. During World War II, when that's starting to break out in the 1930s, she gets married to John von Neumann, who's now her husband. And, of course, things are getting a little dicey in Europe, right?
Yeah.
So John gets a job at Princeton, and he's a mathematician, and so he gets a job at Princeton, and so they say, okay, well, we're not going to stay for this, so we're going to go to the U.S.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Ooh,
they got out.
I got scared. He was going to say, well,
no.
Sticking out here. And I was like, oh, no.
No.
They accepted.
Okay, great.
And so John gets this job at Princeton, and Clara follows him to the U.S.
Okay.
Once they're there, she also gets a job at Princeton, despite... She had a high school education in, like, algebra and mathematics and was really interested in numbers and stuff.
Yeah.
But there, I think, was some kind of program for if you immigrated at the time, like, from Europe, all this stuff's going on. So yeah. Princeton, she had a job there working with mathematics and things like that.
That's, like, pretty rare for the time, right? Well,
and I mean, I just, that kind of blew my mind a little
bit. Yeah, that's crazy.
So, and I don't think she was a professor or anything, but, sure. You know, she was doing things with mathematics.
I'm slowly just taking off all of my accessories and putting yes. them on our makeshift desk.
Yeah. It's kind of like you take the earrings off before you fight, or mm-hmm. whatever. It's like, yeah. So then, of course, we've got World War II going on, and John von Neumann is one of the people who is, I don't want to say invited, because
like
that makes
getting nervous.
Yeah. I don't want to say invited, because that makes it seem like a choice, but basically was part of the Manhattan Project.
Oh, okay. Oh.
So he was doing that, helping them develop
got
the...
Got offered?
He got offered, I would say. But, sure. like, how do you say no to the U.S. government, really?
No.
Especially if like you're
no.
from Europe and immigrated to this country.
You know
and
what you do? What? You know what you
do? What?
No.
Actually,
why are you flipping off
that.
KB now?
I wasn't flipping off KB.
She was demonstrating. However, yeah. I don't feel like you say no to that.
I feel like you do.
I don't feel like you do. I feel like the U.S. government would put the screws to you and say, you're going to do this. So.
That's what I would say.
So he goes off to be in New Mexico to do all this Manhattan
Makes
Project
sense.
Stuff. He kind of messes around with Einstein and stuff while he's there. Like, it's all,
Makes
you
sense.
Know. But Clara stays at Princeton and she's still holding her job there. And, you know, doing things with mathematics. So that's what they're doing during World War II. But post-war, they kind of turn their attention to this computer. And I couldn't find what it stood for. But it's ENIAC. It's E-N-I-A-C. And they're all capitalized. So I know it's an acronym. I'm just
N-E.
Not. So it's E-N.
Oh.
Wow, Ashley.
E-N.
I-A-C.
I-A-C. Electronic, numerical, interrogator, and computer.
Yeah.
Woo!
So the ENIAC. And originally it was kind
it
of.
Turing? Alan Turing?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure.
This sounds like a... Okay.
So basically this was developed initially to kind of come up with prototypes for a hydrogen bomb. But post-war, John and Clara kind of look at this and say, I bet we could get this to forecast the weather.
It is.
Oh.
It's made after a concept that Alan Turing came up with. And it's the concept is named after him.
Okay. Cool.
I feel so smart.
Yeah. So they're going to try to get this computer to forecast the weather.
Sure.
Right. So this is in pursuit of something that they've been trying to do for, I saw something like it had been almost a century they've been thinking about these kinds
wow.
of things. But getting to a point where you could forecast the weather mathematically
mm-hmm.
using formulas.
Yeah.
So that's what they're in search of when they're doing this. So Clara, during this time, of course, she's been working at Princeton, has gotten even better mathematically
yeah.
and having that kind of understanding. So she's working on coding and she's working on all those mathematical principles that
Great.
Go into the actual programming of the ENIAC. And with her work doing that and with John, they get it to be one of the first stored program computers. So before, you know, like you didn't have any storage in these
right.
things. You had to completely put in everything fresh every
right.
time. But it's one of the first that was like this where you could store the program. You wouldn't have to type it in. You could just run it. Through
wow.
and yeah and this is in late 40s up to 1950 they're working on this so
Whoa.
Very early computers.
That's a lot older than I thought it was
yeah so that's what they're doing and also Clara trained more people on how to use it so she gets
wow.
so well versed in using this system that she trains other people to use it because prior to that it was just her and John and this one other dude
sure.
yeah who knew how to use it
they need a few more hands
yeah exactly
yeah.
yeah
so she worked in trying to do that so when they're doing this and getting the stored program on there running tests. They get a, I think they did a 12-hour and a 24-hour forecast. It wasn't really a forecast because they used his storms that had already happened to kind of see
how accurate it would be.
Yeah, if it would, like, predict. And, of course, they didn't want to stake anyone's
life.
Yeah, so they don't want to forecast yet, but they used past data to try to
test it out.
Yeah.
Safe environment.
So they had already done that. And this group of scientists who were more into weather, more straight, you know, meteorologists, they come to them and they can now input their equations that they've been developing as far as the actual math that would go with predicting storms. They made it so that they could input those things into the ENIAC and start developing those forecasting systems and doing it mathematically and with computer programs. So that's really her kind of contribution.
That's really cool. To this.
Yeah. So all, you know, forecasting that's based on programs and models and mathematics, and that all comes from this initial project. So if you have a weather app on your phone now, like,
that's
this
because of her.
Yeah, it's because of her and because of, you know, John also doing this work. But yeah, but a lot of the women who worked on this, and there were several, because again, programming was kind of one of those fields, like we've talked about, where it's an emerging field, and so women are able to get in on that.
Right.
So many of them go uncredited, because it's just kind of like, the great men of such and so are working on this program, but it's like, but it wasn't just men. It was all these women who are working in mathematics and coding and, you know, doing all these things who are getting the actual work done that's needed to be able to do these things. So yeah, she really contributed to us being able to, I guess it's both forecasting and the actual mathematics of that, but also leading into communication, which is why I sort of put her as this, you know, transition piece, I guess, from forecasting to communication.
I just have to say,
yeah,
I've got really bad imposter syndrome right now.
Why?
These ladies are so smart, and I want to be just like them, but I'm not that smart. I can hardly do math at all.
I mean,
Ashley, you make me look really stupid, so there you go. Well, that's just not true at all.
I feel like people are strong in different areas, though, you know?
I guess.
Yeah. Like, maybe Clara had no clue about history, you know, but she was...
Or she didn't know anything about theater.
I bet she went to the theater all the time and was like, this is how they did it.
Oh, gosh.
She probably knew everything.
Everything?
Well, what if she had imposter syndrome? I feel like everyone does, to a degree, have imposter syndrome. And it comes from, you know, you're never really fully prepared for anything. I can't think of one big thing in my life that I was like, I'm 110% prepared for anything that's about to happen.
But that's because we're us.
No, that's because we're human, and, like, that's just part of it. You're never really prepared.
I'm just terrible. I also just have bad posture syndrome as well.
Me too. I try to be better about it, but literally
I'm slouched. I'm tucked into a wall now.
I'm slouched. If I don't have a back to a chair that I can, like...
We need chairs!
I know. I'm sorry. I'm poor.
Same.
Oh dear. But yeah, so that's Clara. Let me talk to
you. You know what I think it's really coming from?
What?
Not that I don't want to be like these women, because I do, because they're so smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's also like I'm like 5-6 weeks away.
Yeah.
From having my last class of a master's program. Mm-hmm. I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
What?
I know that feeling.
You're gonna hand me a piece of paper?
Yeah. Well,
for what?
I think part of it is because
I want some papers. They're not great.
I feel like you're too hard on yourself. But
you said hard on.
Oh God.
Ew.
Gross. So I think part of it is because, you know, we get our high school diploma and that's from 4 years, and we get our bachelor's degree and that's from 4 years, but a master's, it's 2 years. It's like half that time.
Yeah.
And so by the time you get settled into your routine and you know some of the professors, it's kind of like, it's time to leave and you're getting your degree, you know. So I feel like that's part of it.
So many professors, I want to be just like them when I grow up.
Yeah.
Dr. Gossin,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Barnes,
yeah.
Dr. Towner,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Farmer.
Yeah.
I want to be just like them when I grow up.
Yeah. All of them at once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the best parts of them,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
I understand that. But no, I mean, well, I think, and that's maybe something that you know, we talk about all these inspirational, historical women who've done all these great things, and we ourselves have imposter syndrome. But really, you know, when they're doing these things, I feel like it's very uncertain sometimes, especially when you talk about science and scientific discovery and research and accomplishment. It's kind of like you're setting out on this journey, not knowing if you're really going to find anything or, I guess, succeed in that, you know, to the degree that you want to. So I think that's important to remember when we're talking about these ladies. So a little behind the scenes right now, currently, while I've been giving this great, wonderful, inspirational speech.
I've been listening to you.
I know.
Me and Ashley have been showing each other gifts of.
Don't put this on me.
You flipped KB off, and that was.
I did it.
Oh my gosh.
KB, make her.
Anyways,
how I feel about you right now.
I feel like
a first year teacher in a poorly controlled classroom.
Start this, Miss Thomas.
Oh dear.
Miss Thomas!
So, yeah, behind the scenes, what you guys haven't seen while I was giving my inspirational speech about imposter syndrome is that Ashley and Sally have continued.
Oh, we're going to go in alphabetical order. Ashley,
no, Sally. No. I was listening. I was participating like a good co-host.
I'm sorry, I'm not smart enough to participate.
I'm pulling up things that we need for closing, and I look over, and what do I see?
Bruce Campbell.
I love
him. It's also Halloween season, so I felt like it was appropriate. Oh,
she can't eat tacos again before a podcast episode. She goes crazy.
Taco crazy.
Can I eat other foods?
Only if they don't make
that are taco
crazy.
Adjacent.
Actually, I think I'm already crazy.
I know that's why you can't have taco crazy on top of it.
What can I have?
Anything else?
Can I have a burrito?
I literally don't care.
I'm gonna have tacos next week.
This is the worst audio.
I'm sorry, y'all.
But basically, they've been continuing their flip-off war, except with gifts. So that's what's been happening.
I just feel like I shouldn't be roped in for that.
I feel like I shouldn't be here right now.
Sally, we love you and your contributions to our podcast.
Yeah, I love you.
Okay, come on now. You say you don't contribute, and yet here you are. Contributing to the flip-off war.
She's making it worse.
Oh, dear.
I feel like I've kind of lost the way on this
a little bit.
I'm really sorry. This is a really cool topic, and I'm just here being a ding-dong.
So we've broken down in communication. So I'm going to talk about communication.
Ooh, segue.
Yeah, there we go. So I didn't want to just stop at forecasting. Of course, that's important, but it's also important to talk about, you know, and communicate with people, particularly when a disaster is happening, like tornadoes or hurricanes.
Right.
So
we have the communication. How do we give it to the people?
Yeah.
Good question.
So I did want to talk about Ada Monzon, and she is a...
French.
No.
Spanish?
Yes. She's from Puerto Rico, so she's got like that Spanish name. Yeah.
Puerto Rico, you lovely island of tropical breezes. No one? What's that story?
Oh, I've never seen it,
actually. I'm a bad theater kid.
I know. Me too.
I thought I was a bad theater kid.
We're terrible. But yeah, she's from Puerto Rico. She's a TV meteorologist. And so I wanted to talk about kind of her involvement with when Hurricane Maria hit a couple of years ago. So really what she was doing.
I can't believe that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. And they're still like, you know, they're still suffering after effects, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like that storm is kind of like Hurricane Katrina for New Orleans. Uh-huh. Like they're going to be suffering from that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be sort of a part of the culture of that place, whether for better or worse, you know, that's sort of.
But
But what's different is that little to no help was sent
yes,
to Puerto Rico.
Exactly. Yeah. So the thing that she did really during this, of course, as part of her job as a meteorologist on television, is communicating with people as the storm is developing and also when it's hitting. So that was a lot of what she did. But also important is she continued talking about Hurricane Maria afterward, and which I think, you know, there were several people who, a lot of Puerto Ricans or people with Puerto Rican kind of heritage,
Lin-Manuel
I guess.
Miranda.
Yeah, exactly. They were talking about Maria and the fact that, you know, this is a...
Hey, we still have no power.
Yeah, they are part of the U.S. and we are doing nothing, so...
I didn't realize how many... I need to be careful about how I phrase this.
Okay. Careful, Ashley.
I didn't realize how many people...
Mm-hmm.
were ignorant to the fact that Puerto Rico is a territory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the United States.
And when you
States.
Would talk to them about it, they'd be like, no, it's not.
Yeah, but, it is.
Yeah,
it 100% is. And let's... I can't get on this subject.
We can't get on to the Puerto Rican subject right now.
Yeah.
And it's buck wild.
Yeah.
And the worst way possible.
So... In case you didn't know, Puerto Rico is a territory of the United States. For anyone listening who doesn't know, now you do.
Don't be ignorant.
Yeah. So, importantly, she continued talking about Hurricane Maria afterward, like a lot of people did. And she was particularly concerned with the human impact of the storm.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we talk about property damages and things like that, but we don't really think about the fact that... You know, there's so many people displaced or they don't have power or water or things like that. And particularly when you're not getting the type of aid that you should be getting, that's really, really difficult to deal with. So I think that was a lot of what she was doing and a lot of how she was contributing to the communication, not just during while the storm is hitting, letting people know about things, making sure that they're getting the information they need to be able to make it through the storm, but also afterward when the storm has already hit, has already caused this damage, and it's sort of how do we move forward with that? How do we talk about the human impact of the storm? Things of that nature. So those are kind of the main people I wanted to talk about. I did have another quick mention just because there are so many people that I didn't even get to mention.
Sure.
You know, so many people who've contributed either through more the mathematics side and programming or, you know, through more the NASA side of things. Just let me get her name correct. Catherine Sullivan, like we talked about, was an astronaut. Quick mention. I did also want to talk about June Bacon Biercy. So she's another name that is kind of, I guess, famous as far as if you type in, like, you know, meteorologist, female scientist, whatever, you know, the Google searches you would do. So she's kind of a pioneer and she holds a lot of firsts as far as women meteorologists.
I feel like a lot of these women do.
Yeah, yeah. We talked about Catherine Sullivan again being the first American female to walk in space. And so there's a lot of women who have a lot of firsts in this area. So she has a couple of distinctions. So she was the first African-American woman meteorologist.
Oh.
And she was the first woman meteorologist, just period. The first woman television meteorologist in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's kind of her claim to fame. And she's also done a lot of things as far as, I guess, more mentorship and doing things to make sure that we get more young meteorologists who are well-trained.
I love
that. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
So I just wanted to quickly mention her. I didn't feel like I could go into, like, you know, full depth or anything. But yeah, she's definitely important.
Maybe we can talk about her in another, like, full
episode. Yeah. So, I mean, we have Black History Month coming up in February, so that's maybe something we could do is quickly revisit, or, you know, there's plenty of opportunities for that. But I did want to mention her because she's another name that you'll hear as far as, like, a lot of firsts in this field. So I felt like that was important too.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I had as far as, like, content stuff. So do we want to go ahead and sort of wrap things up? What are our takeaways from everything and all that? Did I teach you guys some stuff?
Yeah, in between okay. Sally flipping me off.
Well,
you make me sound like you're coming up as the victim. Don't play the victim, Ashley. Don't you dare. Don't you fucking dare.
Sometimes I wish we were an audiovisual medium. It's just so you can see Ashley's face sometimes.
Shut up, Ashley. Oh, I can do that too.
Oh my gosh. I thought your acting was pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I did go to school for 4 years.
Right? There have been times, like, especially when I was in college, like, I would, obviously, like, I'm a silly goose, but, like, when I was doing more serious shows and stuff.
And people would be like, wow, you got.
Like, you're so good. I was like, I go to the same class as you. Do I learn the same things? Like.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can get a directing program somewhere else. Maybe at East 15.
I would like to go to East 15.
So would I.
I think I just want to go to London. They're doing Blood Wedding at the Young Vic right now, and I'm really mad I can't go see it. It's the Lorca piece, but they did a new translation. They have a new translation by Irish playwright Marina Carr, and she set it in rural Ireland. Yeah, I'm very upset. I keep seeing people tweet about it, and they're like, apparently there's some effect that they do where it looks like this guy is riding a horse, but there's no horse.
What?
And I don't know how they did it. There's no postings about it. I've been like,
I feel like after the performance, they're gonna.
I've been like on the Young Vic site because sometimes they'll do like interviews with like the director at least. And they have like an interview with the director and the playwright, but I can't find anything about like the special elements that they put in. I'm supposing because they want to keep it a surprise.
Yeah. I think. Oh.
And then I saw a tweet the other day that was like, so the director's name is Yael Farber, who's like, she's a pretty famous director, I would say.
Yeah.
And she, somebody tweeted at her and at the Young Vic, and they were like, thank you for, I don't know if I can say a wonderful evening, but a very enlightening evening. Also, that pool of blood. And I was like, what? I'm missing it. I'm missing it. And I'm never going to see it again because theater is ephemeral.
It is.
I want to see it so bad.
I know you do.
Anyway.
So.
Our takeaways.
Yeah, our takeaways.
That's how we started this conversation. I feel like because there's a lot of firsts. And it kind of ties in with our imposter syndrome conversation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, don't be afraid. Like, go out and take chances. And even if people say you can't do it, like that one person said, women can't be meteorologists or graduate with a PhD in meteorology.
You just got to stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Don't listen to them.
Because, I mean, if you keep going, and particularly in this field, but really in other fields too, you can make differences in people's lives.
Yeah.
So.
Isn't that what we all want to do, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel it. I mean, that's what I want
to
do.
I mean, like, everybody wants to leave their mark, right?
Yeah.
I feel like most people's marks that they want to leave is at least changing one life. I feel like that's usually.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
So if these people had stopped at any point and said, oh, women can't do meteorology.
We could all be dead.
Yeah, or at least, like, in a worse position than we're in now.
We'd all be
you know?
Dead.
Yeah, for sure.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. It'd be like that sometimes.
You know what I read today? That was really funny.
What?
It'd be like that sometimes.
What?
That was really funny. I just liked how you said it.
Oh, yeah. Like
what'd you read today?
I read today that those who spend a lot more time deep in thought have shorter lifespans.
You can't think too much. You'll get stressed out.
But it's like, who's not thinking a lot? Wait, are we weird?
Well, and also, like, is
wait,
that...
are we weird?
No.
Okay.
I mean...
There's three of us.
I mean, yes. But...
My first childhood memory is me eating dirt. I think I'm weird.
Oh, dear.
That's amazing.
I was going to say something, but I just am focused on Sally eating dirt. Oh, Lord. Oh, but is that like, it's that whole correlation or causation thing, you know? you living a shorter life is probably not caused by being deep in thought, you know, but there's, you know.
I'm sure sometimes it can.
I mean, yeah, but I don't feel like that's, that the whole set of people is like that, you know.
I just thought it was a funny statistic that I read in the elevator, and I was like, why are you telling me this in the elevator?
Yeah,
now really I'm deep in thought.
That's why I'm like,
going to work.
Stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's why I like those, I can't remember what the website is, but they pick random things that look the same on a graph and pair them together and say they're somehow related.
Yeah.
That's why I like those. It's like, they're not really, and but it just shows you how kind of ridiculous sometimes data is, or we'll try to say things are related that aren't, or, you know. So that's why I always think about, like, is that actually causing that? Or is, you know. But yeah, that's an interesting...
Yeah.
Interesting thing.
So, sorry to break it to y'all, but we're probably going to die pretty early on because we're all deep in thought a lot.
Yeah.
Can I give some shout outs?
Yeah, sure.
I've been listening to some podcasts this week.
Yeah.
Which I know is shocking.
I'm so I have fallen over on the floor.
I know.
I'm so shocked.
I'm not.
But I remember us talking about kind of women in the Wild West, sort of, a little bit, and me talking about how I wanted to do my movie or my TV show set in the brothel.
Yeah.
I would like to recommend a podcast about real women of the Gold Rush era, if that's okay.
Yeah, do it.
The podcast is called Queens of the Mines.
Okay.
That's M-I-N-E-S. Mines.
Okay.
Like, it's mines!
Yeah. Where you dig for gold.
Yeah.
Like that one guy sings in Pocahontas.
Savages. Sandwiches. Sandwiches.
No.
Lettuce and tomato.
You know what I'm talking about.
Sandwiches.
The song is called Mine, Mine, Mine.
Pumpernickel bread.
Oh my goodness.
Oh dear. Anyway. Queens of the Mines.
Mm-hmm.
It's about real women. Season one is focusing on one specific person right now.
Okay.
But the host is great. She's really great at storytelling. I was, like, at work listening to this, just enraptured. I got, like, 3 episodes in before I realized it.
Mm. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, definitely really check good. It out. They're on Twitter at Queens of Minds.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also find them on iTunes and Spotify. The second one is Dexplanations.
Okay.
I've listened to this one before.
Yes.
It's really good.
So, this is... okay. So they reached out to us.
Yeah.
And we did like a listen review swap.
Yeah.
But the first thing I did once we got their message was go read the description of their podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it reads, every week I look something up on Wikipedia and explain it to my friend Dave.
That sounds amazing.
Like, first of all.
I feel like that's in the same spirit sometimes as what we do.
I read this and I was like, this is me and Sally.
This is Sally's movie corner, but with more research.
Literally. So definitely go check them out. I listened to the Marie Curie episode today, and it was so good. They have a couple new ones that recently came out that I'm going to be listening to tomorrow.
Yeah, they had some good ones.
Yeah, some really great topics, and it's such a variety of topics as well.
Okay.
So definitely check them out. That was Dexplanations. They're on Twitter at Dexplanations. You can also find them on iTunes and Spotify.
Cool.
And those are my podcast recommendations.
Yeah. You're usually bringing the book recommendations.
I know.
And then, like, today, it's just...
I can give a book recommendation.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
You can go read The Way We Argue Now.
Oh.
And it's by Amanda...
Did it say how people say literally...
Oh, gosh.
The Way We Argue Now by Amanda Anderson.
Okay.
It's from 2006. It's Princeton University Press.
Mm-hmm.
But it's some literary things that I'm reading for school this week.
That's cool.
I don't know where I stand on it yet.
Okay.
But it's been interesting to read.
All right. That's
absolutely... Book recommendation.
Yeah,
absolutely. Has nothing to do with anything.
Well,
but
it's always interesting. Is it about, like... how you form argumentation, or what is it about?
I can read you the description from Amazon.
Yeah, well, just read us the blurb.
How do the ways we argue represent a practical philosophy or a way of life? Are concepts of character and ethos pertinent to our understanding of academic debate?
Mm.
In this book, Amanda Anderson analyzes arguments in literary, cultural, and political theory with special attention to the ways in which theorists understand ideas of critical distance, forms of subjective experience, and the determinants of belief and practice. Drawing on the resources of the liberal and rationalist tradition, Anderson interrogates the limits of identity politics and post-structuralism while holding to the importance of theory as a form of life.
Hmm.
There you go.
Interesting. The thing you said about ethos is interesting to me because I think sometimes it depends.
I think it depends.
And I think it can be an important part of argument. I'm going to talk about millennials for a second.
Okay.
So I've been seeing a lot of stuff that suggests that we've grown up with advertising. We know it's all BS. So rather than listening to them, we'll go based on what our friends say or people we know say, people we trust say. So that to me is more like an ethos thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's really interesting to me is how do people decide things? Mm-hmm. Is it based on ethos? Is it based on just straight up?
Yeah.
Logos.
I'm interested to see if her argument would change at all now. This was, again, it was published in 2006.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd be interested to see what she thinks now about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
Because at the time I was like, I don't know, 13 or something.
Yeah.
So most millennials, I mean, some millennials were kind of older teens, maybe into 20, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
I have a recommendation.
Okay.
I do. If anyone's in the DFW area and you like theater, I would suggest going to Theater 3. They have a play going on right now called Dracula.
Yes.
Ashley and I saw it last week and it was really good.
I think
we're also a little biased because our friend Paul T. Taylor's in it.
I'm sorry. His name is Paul T. Taylor. I'm sorry. It's Paul T. Pinhead. No.
Yeah, Paul
T. It's Pinhead. Paul. Pinhead Paul T. Taylor.
He was
something like that.
He was Pinhead in the most recent Hellraiser movie, Hellraiser Judgment.
Hellraiser Judgment.
And he was great in it. He's in it.
Can I just say, I don't know if I can say this on the internet. I might get booed and heckled. He was the best Pinhead. There, I said it.
You're not at all biased, though.
Not biased at all. I mean, your workstations are together.
I love my Pinhead.
I miss him so much.
Me too.
He keeps bringing. Well, he hasn't been there in a few weeks, but he's brought spooky stuff. So
yeah.
It's up on our little divider.
Mm-hmm. But if y'all are in Dallas and y'all like theater, I would head over to Theater 3.
We're gonna drag Katie back.
Yeah, they run through their. They extended the run of the show. Now it's gonna end on November 3rd. And they have in their performances on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoons.
They've been getting such good reviews. They got extended a week. Like, if you're in the area, go see it.
Yeah.
I would definitely recommend. It's really good. Go to Theater 3, just the number 3, Dallas.com, or you can just Google Theater 3. They said, we're going to go see it again.
Yeah.
I thought it was really great. They did really awesome stuff.
Like, if you like Dracula as a book, go see it.
Mm-hmm.
If you like theater at all, go see it. If you're not into either of those things, but maybe like costumes, go see it. If you're into lights, go see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's got something for everyone.
And it's a really cool space. Like, I know afterwards, we spent a good 30 minutes just at least of like, how can we utilize this space in the future? What place can we do? It's a really awesome play. So go see it.
And if Theater 3 needs an assistant director, I'm available.
Or they need casting for someone like me.
You would be in the show I direct.
It's okay. But still, cast me.
I mean, yeah, cast her. She's really good. But also, I need her whenever I'm ready to direct a show. So she has to be free. Sorry.
I love how there's a bidding war on me and no one's bidding on me. And there's no one else.
I just assume I'm going to always have to be like, Sally, you have to drop the show you're working because we're doing the thing.
Okay.
And you have to be like, sorry, guys. Oh, sorry, don't know what to tell you.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Oh, dear. Okay, so that's our recommendations for this week.
Those were all over the board.
Yeah. We got a book recommendation.
Two podcast recommendations.
Two podcasts, another book, and
a play. Yeah.
So we're recommending all the things.
We're such cultured women.
Mm-hmm.
We are. We also went to brunch and we went in the North Park Mall where I felt like I was.
I felt like I had to apologize for being there.
Yeah. One time, there was another time I was at North Park and where I parked, I had to go. I went through Neiman Marcus and I passed by the Louboutins and I felt like I had to give it money.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Actually, if you are in the DFW area, you could go to North Park and check out the Dallas Opera's costume exhibits that are there. They're so good. I love the ones from Becoming Santa Claus. And the Moby Dick ones are just
fantastic. I got to see Moby Dick in...
Did you?
Yeah, it was the first year of At Pack. They did it, and it was amazing.
Oh.
It was, because, like, I was like, oh, cool, but I didn't know that it was, like, an opera. I was like, oh, Moby Dick, that looks cool. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, a play or something. And it was an opera, and I was like, oh, it's an opera. But I was like, this is really fucking cool.
Ugh.
Yeah, like, opera's really, like, people are just like, oh, it's so,
uppity.
Yeah, uppity. Which, like, it is. Like, it's the opera. It but, like, as far as spectacle and tech-wise, it is fantastic. Yeah. Because they...
I wish I would have seen Moby Dick.
It was so good. You would have loved it.
Yeah.
You would have loved it. And I was like 14 when I saw it.
Did you know Dave Malloy? He's writing a show for Moby Dick.
Huh.
Ooh, can I give a spooky Broadway show album to listen to?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. It's Dave Malloy's Ghost Quartet.
Yeah.
It's so... good.
That sounds very familiar.
There was an off-Broadway tour at Pack a few years ago.
And they had to do it somewhere else.
They did it somewhere else in Deep Ellum.
Yeah.
And a local, a regional theater group.
Okay.
Recently did it. I think it did this past year.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it. It's so good. It draws on, like, I'm going to say 4 main stories.
Okay.
Fall of the House of Usher is an inspiration. 1001, is it 1001 Arabian Nights or just 1001 Nights? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
I think it's 1001 Nights because Arabian Nights is a true.
That's Aladdin. Arabian Nights. What am I thinking?
Arabian Nights is his own thing.
What?
I'm confused.
Anyway,
it draws on like stories like that, and it kind of pushes them all together, and it's amazing.
Talking about Halloween shows, talking about Dracula at Theater 3, that, and Paul was saying, we were talking to him after the show, that's their big quote-unquote holiday show for the year. Like, they're not...
It's a Halloween show.
Like, it's Halloween. They're not like, we're not going to do a big Christmas show. Yeah. No, we're going to do a big Halloween show.
Halloween blowout.
Because that's the better holiday.
It is a better holiday. You get free candy.
I think the thing is, like, don't get me wrong, I like Christmas, but it's...
It's so hyped up.
It is so hyped up.
Everyone's chill on Halloween.
I feel disgusted with myself because I have Christmas fever this year. And I normally don't. Like, I love Christmas, but I have Christmas fever and it's bad. And I am disgusted with myself. Like,
it's like I don't even know who you are anymore.
I don't know who I am. Like,
we gotta wrap
I'm gonna have to start wearing a name tag. Like, it's bad.
I don't know how I'm going to sleep with that information, man.
Yeah.
I
just
want
to do our housekeeping.
Yeah, I guess we should because, like, honestly, I don't know what to do with this now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, way to bring the mood down, Katie.
Sorry.
It's the best time of the year.
It is. I love Halloween.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Liar.
Liar!
Liar!
Little Princess Bride.
Happening.
My favorite is the one where she goes Humperdinck. That one.
Humperdinck.
They can never remake that movie.
Never.
Mm-hmm.
It's
please
like,
don't.
It's like it's up like.
It's your housekeeping.
A housekeeping notes.
Yeah. Who wants to do it? Do I want to do it?
Honestly, I'm so exhausted after you told me you've got Christmas fever.
I'm exhausted from my own Christmas fever.
All right. You gotta close this out, Sally. All right. I can't.
I'm gonna try to do it on the top of my noggin. So, all right. That's the show.
Great. Doing good so far.
Ashley, let me.
I was encouraging you.
Okay.
I'm sorry that I lack the ability to sound sincere like you do, okay? It's not my fault. I have a sarcastic father.
I'm just a goo. You can always follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, at Legendary Lasses.
Facebook.
And Facebook at Legendary Lasses. You can follow us, slide into our DMs.
Sure.
Or we also have a website. It's legendarylasses.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Boom. You can also email us at legendarylasses@gmail.com. That's where you can just, you know, write to us saying that you love me. You can, you know, just give some comments about the show, people who you think we should cover, or, you know, just tell me I'm the best. I need an ego boost. You can also, what else?
Rate.
Oh yeah, rate and review us. On Apple Podcasts or wherever you can rate us, give us 5 stars or however many, the max amount of stars you can give us. And again, leave us a review. Tell me I'm the best. We're also on Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and a bunch of more platforms. And you can also, if you feel so generous, you can also leave, if you want to donate some money, you can do that too.
We all feel awkward asking for donations.
Yeah, I feel weird asking for donations, but you can
you sounded like that Looney Tunes character.
You can
are you drunk?
No. Okay. Go to anchor.fm/legendary. I'm sorry, I spit on you, KB. anchor.fm/legendarylasses. And if you feel so generous to donate money, go to click on be a sponsor.
Support this podcast.
Yeah.
And you can be as awesome as Ron and Gabby Davis.
There you go.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and then,
and also all that money goes back into the podcast.
Yeah, that'll help us get better equipment. It'll help us get materials like books and other things and snacks. And
well, maybe not snacks.
Mostly books.
Mostly books and equipment.
Mostly books and equipment, but also snacks.
No,
we pay for our own snacks.
Yeah, we do pay for our own snacks. But anyways, books and equipment.
We do need this to be an audiovisual podcast. Yeah. Because sometimes the facial expressions that happen, it would just add so much more to it.
Yeah. See, this is why I need to be a sponsor, so we can be an audiovisual podcast.
There you go.
Like the Joe Rogan Experience.
Sure.
Yeah. But I'm not Joe Rogan. I'm not Joe Rogan.
You can be Joe Rogan if you want to.
Well, what if I want to be Sally? I don't want to be Joe Rogan.
Then be Sally Rogan.
I think he's married and has kids.
Well, I'm not saying be his wife. I'm saying if you want to be like Joe Rogan, you be like Joe Rogan, girl.
I just want to be like me.
Then you be like you. You just look really sad. I was trying to encourage you.
Sally, you did really well with our intro.
Thanks, and I just did on the top of my noggin.
I'm so proud of you. Did you notice that I was smiling at her like a proud PTA parent watching her kid at a rehearsal?
And you're just drinking wine going, you're doing great, sweetie.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was really good, Sally.
I don't remember our tagline. I just know the end of it because I always scream it.
KB knows it, I bet.
Yeah. So, go out.
We didn't thank them for listening.
Oh, thank you for listening. Yeah. Stay if you're still listening right now.
It's
God bless
you.
Your soul.
Bless
you.
You
must have
all
the patience of a saint.
You're a gentleman and a scholar,
probably.
All right, so go out, make changes, make history. No.
Wow.
Sally got all that right, and I'm messing up my one job.
I gotta go get her. I gotta go get her outro. Hold on.
Go out, take change. I forget what the next thing is.
Make waves. Make waves. Take chances.
That's not. We've never said
together.
Let me just pull it up. This is ridiculous.
Together we've got it. Oh. Go out and make waves. Change history.
Take 10%.
What? Somebody just say it, because
I don't even know anymore.
Okay. Hold on. This is ridiculous.
Go out.
Make waves.
Make waves.
Change history.
Stay legendary.
And kick some ass.
And take chances, I guess.
And remember, guys, pie's better than cake.
Oh, dear. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I love you.